the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this online worship service. We are delighted that you can join us. Friends, please pray with me. Jesus, draw us to yourself. Help us to trust and believe in what you told your disciples, and give us faith to say, as Simon Peter did, "We have nowhere and no one else to go to. You alone are the door to eternal life. We know deep in our souls that you are the Holy One of God." So lead us on. We pray with no small amount of apprehension that you will stretch us beyond our comfort zones to join with you in the work of your kingdom. As we bow our hearts humbly before you now in worship, look upon us in that tender way you do, and fill us with confidence that you are with us always, for you are Messiah, God's own Son, and that we find our strength in you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's each light our candle for worship as we take a moment to be still and listen in the presence of God before we move into the rest of our service.
Please join me as we say together our prayer of confession. Gracious God, if it was easy to follow Jesus, we would not need to ask for forgiveness. But it is tough to say yes, tough to be graceful, tough to be loving. And we are so very grateful for your love and forgiveness. We may long to be in your house, but our deeds show how tough it is for us to live there. Called to follow, we search for paths to take us back to our old ways. Offered the path of salvation to walk upon, we stumble down the rocky roads of our world. Forgive us, strengthen us with your Spirit, so we may follow Jesus Christ, the one we have come to believe and know is our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
As John's Gospel powerfully reminds us, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, not to condemn the world, but to enter this world as an agent of salvation. That's good news that we are called to embrace and that we are called to live. Friends, know that your sins have been forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading today is again from John 6. Today we are looking at verses 56 through 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of God.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, as I was preaching for a neighboring congregation, I found myself making use of the closing episode, from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, the story in which the 12-year-old Jesus, rather than returning to Nazareth with his parents, remains behind in Jerusalem at the conclusion of the annual Passover pilgrimage. Now, I'm not going to bore you with an explanation as to how I ended up last Sunday with a gospel text we're far likelier to hear not in mid-August, but in the aftermath of Christmas. I'm not going to go there. But what I will say is this. As I pondered what is in many ways the climax of that story, a climax that takes place when Mary and Joseph, after 3 days of searching, finally find their son, only to be greeted with an expression of surprise and what appears to be mild irritation on his part. As I pondered his reply to them, what he says is, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" As I pondered those provocative words, words which Joseph especially may have found painful, I found myself applying to Jesus, even at the not quite yet an adult age of 12, the very words used in the book Isaiah, to describe, to point to the difference, not merely a quantitative difference, but the qualitative difference between God and humanity. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Even at the very beginning of his time with us, standing in the Jerusalem temple sanctuary, exchanging insights with the elders, responding to his worried mother's concerns. Even way back then, there is a sense in which that same sentiment can rightly be applied to our Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Well, here I am 1 week later, coming before the St. Stephen's Faith Community, charged with the responsibility of bringing to a close a whole series of reflections on one of the more challenging chapters found anywhere in the New Testament. Way back on July 25th, Phil got us started as he spoke about the two incidents which launched John's lengthy sixth chapter, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water. 2 weeks later, Diane picked up the mantle, providing us first with a moving reflection on what it means to be a pilgrim people in the footsteps of this unexpected Jesus. And then last week, providing us with such a helpful way of thinking about one of the most difficult, and yes, perhaps one of the most bizarre moments in John's gospel. Christ's telling his disciples that they must be prepared to consume his body and his blood if they wish truly to be counted as one of his. As Diane rightly pointed out, from our perspective, indeed from the perspective of the early church, they and we are able to see the beautiful Eucharistic imagery in the challenge Jesus offers in that sixth chapter. But what in the world could a first century Jew have possibly made of so wild a claim? One that would surely have appeared to them to have been an invitation to cannibalism and to the violation of the most basic Jewish understanding of the covenant. And so, not surprisingly, in this morning's concluding episode, we learn not only that many of his disciples grumbled at the hard sayings he had been sharing with them, but that, and I quote, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." Indeed, had we read a couple of verses further on, we would have heard for the very first time in John's gospel mention of the name of Judas, who, as the verse points out, is the one who was going to betray him. Hard to believe that John is not thereby suggesting that Christ's hard saying about eating his body and drinking his blood may have been the initial impetus pushing Judas toward his horrendous act of betrayal. That having been said, the disgruntlement expressed by some of the disciples leads Jesus to an exchange with his core group of 12, an exchange that produces from none other than Simon Peter one of the most beautiful sets of words found anywhere in the New Testament. Jesus asks the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" What a poignant question. Simon Peter, as is so often the case, Simon Peter is the one who makes bold to answer that question. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I suppose that I am struck, as I am so often struck, as much by the things that are not said in an episode such as this one, as by the things that are said. And yes, noticeably absent from Peter's response to Jesus is any attempt at denying the head-scratching nature of what I'll describe as Jesus' Eucharistic words. At no point does Simon Peter, who is often something of a bumbler and a stumbler throughout all four of the Gospels, at no point does he turn to Jesus and say, "Hey, Lord, I have no idea what's wrong with those other guys who have walked away. We get just what you're into when you tell us we need to eat your body and drink your blood. It all makes perfect sense." No. At no point does Peter attempt that sort of reply, which is probably good since Christ would have seen right through it. What Simon Peter does offer by way of question and exclamation is far more profound than any attempt at pretending that he somehow has it all figured out. Instead, he simply says to Jesus, "Where else would we go? You are the one. You are the one who has the words of life, the words of eternal life," thereby acknowledging the abiding mystery of Christ's full identity, thereby acknowledging as well that the one who stands before him continues to be one of whom it rightly can be said that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and that his ways are not our ways. And this past week, I found myself pondering that lovely 19th century hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And yes, I found myself pondering that word friend, and pondering the difference, and it's a crucial difference, between claiming Christ as our friend, between claiming Christ as my friend, as opposed to claiming him as my buddy, as my bud. You see, what makes him a true friend to each and to all is grounded not only in the things he has in common with us, but in the profound difference between us and our Lord. And yes, part of the profound difference, part of what makes it right and proper and fitting to describe him as one whose thoughts are not our thoughts and whose ways are not our ways, is well summarized in Peter's response to the prospect of abandoning him. "Do you want to go away as well?" is the question Jesus places before Peter and the others. And Peter's response is so spot on the money. "Lord, to whom would we go? Should we go? You are the one. You are the one who has the words of eternal life." And here, as I bring this reflection to a close, I'm going to substitute a word for eternal that is definitely not synonymous with the word eternal, but a word which for me has always captured something of the sort of life I have encountered in Jesus, the sort of life I have seen in him from the moment that I began reading the New Testament 50 years ago. My goodness, half a century ago. And got as far as the opening words of the Sermon on the Mount, 5 chapters in, and found myself going, "Whoa, who is this man?" The word the word I am going to substitute for the word eternal in Simon Peter's response is the perhaps a wee bit overused word in our day, and yet a word which for me remains a good word, the word authentic. Authentic. As in, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of authentic life. And yes, at the risk of saying less than everything contained in that very large word, eternal, what has drawn me to this Jesus over the years, not because I always get him, but often, especially in those moments when I fail to get him, is an authenticity that cannot be faked, a genuineness that cannot be staged. With no disrespect intended for any particular brand of soft drink, I remain fully convinced that it is this Jesus who is the real thing. The one who does not have a false bone in his body. The one whose words are filled with such genuine truth and love and, yes, authority that they can sting and heal at one and the same time. Calling us to discover in our personal encounter with him in all of his authentic liveliness, that which is truly authentic in our world, in our hearts, in our lives. For he does indeed, this Jesus, come to us still this day. He remains one who comes to us as one unknown, much as Albert Schweitzer over a century ago so movingly described the moment of encounter with Christ. He comes to us as one unknown, to which I'll add as one with unmatched authority and unrivaled authenticity. And as Schweitzer rightly put it, he speaks to us the same words. The same words, follow thou me, and sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself. He will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, and yes, the sufferings which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an unsurpassed mystery, they shall learn in their own experience, not through academic treaties, but in their own experience, they shall learn who he is. And they will, of course, find that he is the one whose thoughts are not our thoughts, and whose ways are not our ways. This one who most surely and truly and richly does indeed possess the words of authentic life, eternal life, life in all its fullness. May that precious life be ours, yours and mine, this day, forever and ever. Amen.
I see some numbers going. Good morning. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Everlasting God, in the beauty of your holiness, we gather to worship you, wherever we may be, to praise you for your goodness and mercy, and for the way that we can be aware and know your holy presence. We come together virtually into this, our beloved sanctuary of prayer and praise, where we are not only surrounded by the signs and symbols of your presence, but also of the memories of people who in the past have inspired us with their faith and their nurture of us. but who have also pointed us towards the only way forward for our life's faith journey. Welcoming God, we come as your vulnerable children to worship you, to offer ourselves to you with all our frailties and faults, and all our struggles with life's complexities, because you open your arms with love and compassion to all in need of your generous love and support. As the wise psalmist wrote, "Even the sparrows find a home there, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young near your altar." We come together today to gain strength, hope, and encouragement for life's journey from the source of all power and strength, our God. God of grace and God of glory, you are our light and our protector, and our God in whom we trust, regardless of our worldly status or influence over others. We come in humility before such a forgiving God as is our God, and acknowledge that it is only in your presence that we can find life's balance and perspective, and that only in your holy presence we can know true acceptance and our true home. Lord God Almighty, may we revere and serve you, forsaking all other would-be gods. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. Holy Trinity, one God, you are so powerful that the highest heaven cannot contain you. Neither can our churches, our hearts, or our world hold you fast. Nevertheless, hear our prayers and pleas this day, for your love is far greater than our needs. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. Holy Spirit, comfort the brokenhearted among us with your promise of redemption and resurrection, for we believe we shall live forever in the house of the Lord. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. Arm us with your might, Lord God, else we be defeated by evil. May your truth, peace, faith, and holy word guard us, inspire us, and embolden us to be your people. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to take no offense from your difficult teachings. You are the Holy One of God, and the Heavenly Father bids us come to you in faith. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. Lord God Almighty, this world delights in producing weapons of war. Forgive us our fear of one another. Teach us to trust your Son and bring peace to the hearts of all people. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. Among us are many counting on your goodness and mercy for hope and healing. Hear us now as we name them. Loving God, you hear our prayers. You live among us. The love of God has won. The new life has begun. Amen. Please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With gratitude once again for your faithful giving to the work of the Church, I ask you now to join me as we pray dedicating our gifts to God's purposes. Heavenly Father, accept these gifts and bless them, as well as those who have presented them. May they all be used to extend your kingdom and the freedom and life that comes in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, things are busy here around the church building. We are full steam ahead in preparations to resume our in-person worship. We're hoping on September 12th. If the province of BC moves to step 4 in the BC restart plan on September 7th, as they are projecting, then we will gather for in-person worship for the first time in a year and a half on that following Sunday on the 12th. And so there's lots to be done for us to be ready for that. We are going to be communicating with you about what that worship will look like. It will be very similar, but to what we've been used to, but there will be some adjusting to allow for the realities of living in a world with COVID. And so we want you to know clearly what that's going to look like. So in the coming week, you can expect to receive a message with all of those details. And I encourage you to read that thoroughly, to ask myself or perhaps the person who's been phoning you regularly if you have any questions about any of it. We'd like to know, and we'd like to be able to fill in any blanks that there may be for you. I hope there won't be any, but you may have some particular concerns, and so we encourage you to communicate those, to give us a call so we can talk about it. Also want to let you know, if you are part of our online worship community, that is not going to stop once we start gathering here in person again. We are going to continue posting online services every Sunday. The time when they're posted might shift slightly, and we'll let you know the details of that when we get them figured out. But each Sunday, you will be able to worship both in person and online. And so we really hope, if you're part of our growing online community, that you will continue to join in worship with us each week.
Friends, as you prepare to leave this time of worship together, I invite you to go forth knowing that you are blessed, and inviting you to be a blessing, and all in the strong and faithful name of Jesus Christ. Go forth now to love and to serve our God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,